Welcome to the One Right Church podcast, where we will discuss what it's like to believe that you attend the only right church. My name is Mark Shaw, and I spent the first 45 years of my life in the Followers of Christ Church in Oregon City, believing I was in the One Right Church. Our hope is that by simply sharing our story, that we would urge people to look to the Bible for answers instead of their religious traditions. We want to encourage people to trust in Jesus for their salvation and not in attending the One Right Church. Let's get started. Hi, Scott.
Well, how are you doing, Mark?
I'm good. We had a listener request again.
Well, there we go. Is it for you to sing?
No, I do get that occasionally.
I bet you do.
People have, after a year, they've kind of stopped asking
for that. You think they've given up?
But yeah, they've given up.
Well, what is it then?
Well, we've been asked to define another biblical word.
Okay.
And we just had Cindy join us and try to, what did she say, denerdify or something like that?
Oh, that's true. And, yeah.
But she's not here today.
So somebody wants us to nerdify.
Somebody wants us to.
So she was going to, this is getting crazy. It's like, you know, you're going to either nerdify or denerdify.
Right.
I don't even know what to do with that.
No, we'll do our best. And when I told you about this, I remember you saying, no one has ever asked you to define this word before.
Well, what's the word?
The word is propitiation.
Propitiation.
Yeah.
So I can, I will even go on record as saying, I don't think anybody has ever requested that I talk about this word. Have talked about it, but not by popular demand, shall we say.
Yeah.
So this is, and it's a great word. It's just one that we don't use in other contexts really ever at all. And so that's some of the reason that it probably is worth defining is just it's not where you might use salvation, you know, or saved, like, you know, somebody was falling over a cliff or a cat was in a tree and the fireman saved it or something like that. We use some religious words in other contexts, but not this word.
Right.
So propitiation, that's a good word. What are you going to do with that then, Mark?
Do you want to try and define it first, or should we say why is it important to know what propitiation means?
I think to know, it'll become obvious, I think, when you define it.
Okay.
What is important about it, but propitiation is sort of the simplest definition, I think, of propitiation is that it is a satisfaction of wrath, namely the satisfaction of God's wrath in this context. Again, like it's not really used other places, but it's brings about, you might say, peace with God because his wrath has been satisfied.
Okay.
And so when you see the word propitiation, it means that God's wrath has been satisfied. He no longer has reason to be angry or wrathful.
Right.
Particularly at sin, that's what it's at the heart of it. And particularly then the sacrifice of Christ on the cross is the thing which brings the propitiation or makes peace with God and satisfies his wrath. And it's really important that we talk about this word. I mean, we'll look at the verses in a moment, but it's really important that we talk about this word because that is one problem that you can't solve by trying to be a good person, by trying to do better and try harder. You can't satisfy the wrath of God against sin.
Right.
You know, you can pretend that there, you know, sin is a moral weight or something, and you can try and apply a, you know, positive moral weight by being a good person, but you can't take care of the offense that you have caused against God.
Yeah.
You can't, there's nothing that you can do to take that away.
Yeah.
And so that's why this is an important word, and really an important word even for us on this podcast, is because I think there are a lot of people who assume that there's going to be some sort of balance where they can do good on one side and outweigh the bad on the other, but that kind of ignores the essentially the moral character of God,
right,
in that he is offended by my rebellion.
Right.
And his offense at my rebellion has to be taken care of somehow. Mm-hmm. And my good things, you know, on some balance might do something, but they can't erase the offense that I've caused and can't undo it.
Yeah. And I really think in my experience that way, even not knowing, like I didn't know what propitiation meant. I didn't understand it, but I still knew when I was just trying to be a good person, I still in my heart knew that I wasn't. And I didn't have, there was nothing I could do. And mm-hmm. and I realized that. And then what do you do if you believe your good works are going to be what saves you? That's where you end up on your deathbed saying, I just don't know if I've done enough, you know? And
well, right. And you can't,
you haven't.
You yeah. haven't, because you can't take care of this problem. You can, yeah. you might think you're taking care of another problem. So for instance, if I did something, you know, if I backed my truck into your fence.
Yeah.
All right. And you were really, really mad. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, and I might be able to repair the fence,
right,
but I have no guarantee that my repairing the fence is going to repair you being angry with me.
Right.
You might still think I'm a knucklehead. And
right.
that, so we've got essentially two problems, and
yeah.
our moral works really don't solve either one of them, but
yeah.
we can tell ourselves a story that it does solve one,
right?
But it there's just no way that it can go back and solve the other. So,
yeah.
Unless somebody makes propitiation for your sin,
yeah.
The propitiation is that God's wrath is satisfied. The picture from the Old Testament, in fact, the word propitiation translates a Greek word that is related to the mercy seat in the tabernacle or temple, where the high priest would sprinkle blood so that people would find mercy from God. And it's so the idea of mercy is related to this. In other words, God's wrath is satisfied so you can receive what you don't deserve. You
right.
know, you receive mercy there. So,
yeah.
Or not that you deserve, you get what you don't deserve. You don't get what you do deserve.
Right.
That's
a, mercy.
That's
yeah.
the satisfaction of wrath, is that what you do deserve, or, you know, God's wrathful vengeance, you don't receive because propitiation has been made.
Right.
And that's the picture that we have in the Old Testament of the high priest entering and sprinkling blood on the mercy seat. So that's what's kind of underneath the old Testament sacrificial picture is underneath the idea of propitiation here. And it's only really in the New Testament do you see the full propitiation. I mean, it would cover the blood of sins and blood of sheep and goats can cover sin but not take it away in that respect.
Right.
And you find it taken away by Christ in the New Testament.
Yeah. Yeah, it's good. Well, I found it when I was looking it up. I found it in three verses in the King James Version.
Okay.
The ESV has a fourth one in Hebrews, but the KJV uses a different word there. But the first one that I thought was helpful is in Romans 3. I think we start in verse 19 for context on that.
You could start in chapter 1, verse 1 for context.
But
for the sake of time,
yeah,
Mark,
right.
Mark will shorten his reading here.
Right. So Romans 3, starting in verse 19, is, "Now we know what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God." That's kind of that place where I had to get to and realize that I wasn't going to do anything. I had to know that I was really guilty before God. So
mm-hmm.
verse 20, "Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. We can stop there. I can keep going. But I'm going to keep going because I think it's important to declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. So I just think that's important from my background, that we come to that conclusion because of the propitiation provided by Jesus, who is Jesus.
What conclusion is important?
The conclusion that that he says that therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law.
Okay, I guess that's how you know it's a conclusion when he says, therefore we conclude. Yeah. I'm sorry, I missed that. Yeah, okay. That a man is justified by faith without deeds of law. So we haven't really, have we talked about justification?
I can't remember.
Okay, we probably should. And that would make sense. And it's in here several times.
Yeah.
But, so we won't tell you what it's about.
Yeah.
No, you actually have to say something about it, probably, don't you, in order for this to make sense. To be justified is to be made right.
Yeah.
And so you're made right with God by faith apart from deeds of the law is kind of what it said there. Mm-hmm. That's our conclusion. The basis by which you are made right with God is that the wrath of God toward your sin has been satisfied. So God no longer needs to be, you might say, judgmental even toward your sin, because that sin has been judged or paid for by Jesus. And that's why it says, whom God set forth. So Jesus himself was the propitiation. The wrath was essentially poured out on Jesus through faith in his blood. So it counts for you. Mm-hmm. When you have faith that the blood of Jesus is enough to satisfy God's wrath and make you right before God. And so that's the beauty of this, is that you can, by faith, lay hold of that. That's why our conclusion is that it's not by works, but it's by faith, that God's wrath poured out on Jesus counts for you. That's the beauty of it, isn't it?
It's so great, yes. Yeah, propitiation is good news for us. Yeah,
oh, it's great news. I mean, it's too bad that it's on such a long word,
right?
You know, but it is really great news.
I like that. I was just looking at 26. To declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. I think that's interesting, and part of what's hard for people sometimes is that Jesus being the propitiation made it so God didn't just overlook the sin. He didn't just let something slide. He remained just by pouring his wrath out on Jesus.
Because he exercised his wrath on sin.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I've heard people talk about it. If you had a judge that just let something slide, you wouldn't consider him a just judge. You might enjoy that mercy that you received, but it wouldn't be just. And that's not what we're talking about here. And some people, especially when we come from a works-based background, we think, well, how can it be that someone else can pay for something that I've done? And we think that it has to be this idea of like one for one, I've got to figure it out. And So I just think that's an important verse too, that, that God remained just by doing this way.
And by himself being the one who justifies, who makes you right, because he, you know, he knew what he was doing. What he meant to do was to take care of wrath. And so he's just and the justifier. Right. Yeah, it's great news. So.
It is. And we've talked about it so many times before. This is what I think I was getting at a lot when I was saying people would say to me, grace is too easy, and that you just get this free pass. But this is what we're talking about. Jesus enduring the wrath of God on your behalf is not easy.
Well, easy for you, easy in the big picture by any means. Right.
So, yeah, I just think that.
Which is one of the things that John tells us in his first letter, John 4:10, herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us.
Yeah.
So the it's good news because it expresses God's love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. The fact that Jesus took the wrath for our sins is an evidence that God loves us. It's not an evidence that somehow you measured up. It's an evidence that God loves you.
Exactly.
And so that connects to us, it tells us in Romans, by our faith in him for that. So it's similar in 1 John 2. That was 1 John 4. This is 1 John 2. My little children, these things I write to you that you might not sin. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. So Jesus stands up for us, you might say. If God were to condemn us because of our sin, and so if you do sin, God would rightfully stand in judgment on you.
Yeah.
He would be wrong not to. But the good news is you have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ. So Jesus is, you might say, advocating on your behalf or standing up for you. And then it says why he can do that. And he is a propitiation for our sins. Jesus can stand up for you before the Father. Not that they're opposed to one another. That'd be the, I'm just trying to talk about it in ways that we might get. That God and the Father and God the Son are not opposed to one another at all.
No.
But anyway, it says that he can advocate for us because he is a propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And so his the reason that you can have hope is that Jesus applies his, you know, essentially the judgment that he took on your behalf, and he appeals to God saying, you know what, for Scott, I've covered that for him.
Yeah.
You know, and it would be unjust then, right, to do double jeopardy on that.
Right.
And to somehow then charge me for it because it's already been paid. So.
Right. And then I don't have it pulled up right now, but there's the sacrifice that Jesus made is a once for all sacrifice. And I think that's hard for people sometimes too, is that, that this propitiation doesn't, that it gives you an opportunity to like wipe the slate clean and then you're on your own again moving forward. But it's this propitiation is for all sin, past, present, future. It's the it's better news than I ever dreamed when I didn't know what propitiation meant. So it's just it's something that I really want people to understand, because when you see this, it makes you love Jesus more. It does me. And I mean, this is, he shows his love for us first. And because of that, I think it makes me love and appreciate him more.
Yeah. It's probably since you brought it up.
Yeah.
So you do good bringing stuff up.
Yeah.
When we talked about the blood being sprinkled on the mercy seat, and that's sort of the picture of this, the mercy that we get from God because of the sacrifice of Jesus, that's what the author of Hebrews picks up in Hebrews chapter 9, and it says, this is the blood of the covenant that God commanded for you. And in the same way he sprinkled, that was verse 20. In the same way he sprinkled with the blood both the tent and the vessels used in worship, indeed, under the law, almost everything is purified with blood. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. And then it goes on to say that for Christ has entered not into holy places made with hands, which are copies of true things, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God on our behalf. That's what we just read in 1 John, right? Yep. He advocates for us.
Yep.
Nor was it to offer himself repeatedly as the high priest enters the holy place every year with blood not his own.
Right.
So even what we talk about as the picture of this mercy seat is not as good as, or is a, you know, a sign that points to the real thing when Christ offered himself in the, well, I'll just keep reading.
Yeah.
Enters the holy places every year with blood on his own. For then he would have had to suffer repeatedly since the foundation of the world. But as it is, he has appeared once for all at the end of the ages to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And just as it appointed for a man once to die, and after that comes judgment, so Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly waiting for him.
Yeah. Yeah, it's great.
So yeah, I'm glad you brought it up, because that is very connected. This once and for allness is very connected to the sufficiency of what Christ did on the cross. It is more than sufficient for us. That's what the whole sins of the whole world idea is too. Mm-hmm. I think it's more than sufficient for all my sins that God's wrath is satisfied. So yeah, the sacrifice of Christ was more than enough.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah, so how can we put our trust in anything other than that? It's
well, whatever it is, it's not as good as that.
No, it's not for sure. Well, I hope that was a helpful way to define.
Well, I just want to say thank you to whoever asked for this, because I don't get asked for about, you know, really good news stuff like this enough. Yeah. So thank you.
And I've had, I'll just warn you now, I've had a few other emails recently asking us to talk about some things. Sometimes it's some verses, sometimes it's a word.
Wow, so okay.
I'd
much rather answer questions people are having than
absolutely
than questions no one has. That's like, right. Who wants to do that?
I know, I wonder that too. Like, when I come up with an idea to talk about on here, like, am I going to be the only one that's ever had this
that's
idea?
Interested or, in this?
Yeah, it's just... Am I the only one interested in this idea?
But oh, boy.
No, it's...
Well, good. Well, I'm happy that there's at least one other person interested in some of these things. And I hope everybody is interested in propitiation, because that really is the heart, I think, the heart of the gospel of the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus.
Yeah. And, you know, we would sing a hymn out there that I think really had a lot to do with propitiation. It doesn't have the word in the song, but...
It doesn't rhyme with very much.
No, it doesn't. So we would sing Nothing But the Blood. I'm sure we've done this on here before, but... What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my pardon, this I see, nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my cleansing, this my plea, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Some of these things, I still don't know how I would sing these and then look for other things to cleanse me and look for other ways to... But,
well, even the song says, no, there's no other, right?
No other.
Yeah.
No other, yeah. Nothing can for sin atone. This is... I think my favorite.
Well, this is the heart of the propitiation
verse,
right?
Yeah.
That's what we're talking about.
Yep. Nothing can for sin atone, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Not of good that I have done, nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my hope and peace, nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my righteousness, nothing but the blood of Jesus. So I do. I pray that people will understand what propitiation is, understand that when they put their faith in Jesus, they receive this righteousness through the blood of Jesus.
And, I mean, it's more than understand it. Have the peace.
Yeah.
I mean, I hope people get the peace with God that Jesus accomplished on the cross.
Yeah.
And the word we have for that is propitiation.
Yep. All right. Thanks, Scott. Well, hopefully this has been helpful. If you have questions or comments or a topic that you would like us to cover, you can reach us at comments
at onerightchurch.com. And for more information, you can visit our website, www.onerightchurch.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.